you ought to know this, Marilyn. I don't believe people should carry gossip about a husband to a wife, but in this case it's a little different. I heard something about Jack that you really ought to know.
Hello, party liners. Those words of Susan Mack to her friend Marilyn Owens are the key of today's visit on the line. In a moment, we'll join Susan and Marilyn and hear this news that Susan thinks her friend is entitled to know. Party liners, tell me, what is your pet economy?
I like to remodel my clothes and wear them a year longer. I think that's a very good way to save money.
I'm going to take good care of my car, do some of the repairing myself, and make it last through the winter.
These are all good economies, party liners, but there is one dangerous temptation that some people think is an economy. I mean, trying to save money at the expense of your health. Times are difficult. Pennies do have to be saved. But isn't it foolish to economize where your health is concerned? Your health, the most precious thing that you have. Is it wise to save a few pennies by buying harsh, bargain laxatives when they might only lead to serious difficulty and possibly tremendous expense later on? Of course not. And I know that if you party liners will reason with me, you will see that one of the most economical laxatives you can buy is Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin combined with laxative Senna compound. For here in the first place is a sensible family laxative whose quality has never changed since Dr. Caldwell himself first prescribed it nearly half a century ago. Furthermore, syrup pepsin is a liquid, the kind of laxative used by many doctors and hospitals. Party liners, don't take chances on unknown laxatives that appeal to your sense of economy just because they're cheap. If you took syrup pepsin for a while and are now taking one of these bargain laxatives, by all means, take my advice now and order syrup pepsin for your family medicine cabinet immediately. Get a bottle from your druggist today. This morning, a long, luxurious, sporty-looking cream-color coupe flashed down the quiet street of Monticello with a pretty girl at the wheel. The car is parked now in front of the house where Marilyn and her small daughter Kitty and Marilyn's brother Carlton Ross have made their home for some months. In the kitchen, Marilyn Owens is talking to Susan Mack, a friend from her Chicago days whom she's not seen in a long while. Susan is saying,
I don't like to carry gossip, Marilyn. I don't see any sense to it ordinarily. But unless you don't want to hear anything about him at all, I think I should tell you something I've heard about Jack.
Oh, you know I want to hear anything and everything you can tell me about him.
Oh, Marilyn, still so much in love with him as all that?
Well, that's one thing I'm not going to think about anymore. I'm going to get a divorce, Susan.
Oh? I know I shouldn't say it, but honestly, Marilyn, I haven't heard such good news in ages. Thank heaven you're finally going to do something sensible.
Well, that's the only reason I'm going to do it, because it seems the sensible thing to do.
Oh, you should have done it years ago, though it's no good saying that now. When did you finally make up your mind?
Oh, just within the last few weeks.
Well, look, maybe you already know about Jack then.
Oh, I don't know, Susan. Nothing's happened to him.
Oh, no. Don't worry about anything happening to Jack Owens. He'll sail through life without a scratch or scar. No, nothing's happened to him except that he's gone off to Alaska to invest a lot of money he got hold of a few weeks ago.
He did get hold of that money, after all, for that gold mine.
You knew about it then?
No, I knew that Jack wanted some money. He came down here and wanted me to get hold of it for him. But I didn't know what he really wanted it for. I found that out afterward from someone else.
Really, Marilyn, can't you see what an impossible person he is? Imagine coming to you for money. Not that I put it past him. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised you didn't give it to him.
Well, even if I'd wanted to give it to him, where would I get it?
Oh, that wouldn't worry Jack. But can you imagine any woman who'd give him $1,000? Because that's what he got, $1,000. And from some woman, too.
From a woman?
Yes, from a woman. Marilyn, that's really why I drove down this way, so I could tell you about it. Of course, I didn't know that you'd finally come to your senses and decided to get a divorce, but this ought to make you even more certain that you're doing the right thing.
But who told you Jack got $1,000? When did he get it? Where?
Well, the only reason I happen to know is that Jack owed Bud Patterson $550.
Oh.
Bud never said a word to me about it until just the other day. When I told him I was going to Florida, he said there was something that he wished you knew. Then he told me about it and asked me if I wouldn't drive down by way of Monticello so I could tell you.
But why should Bud Patterson want me to know that? Oh. He wanted me to get Jack to pay him back the $550?
No, Marilyn, no. Jack paid that back himself.
He paid it back. But how in the world...
Don't you see, darling? That's where the $1,000 comes in. Bud told me that a few weeks ago Jack blew in all smiles and good cheer and handed Bud $550 in cold, hard, honest-to-goodness cash. So Bud, you know Bud, there's nothing shy about him. He just asked Jack right out where he got the money. He knew very well he hadn't been earning any. I guess he thought he must have won it on a horse race. Jack told him that it was a secret, but he'd been out of town and he met a woman who offered him $1,000 out of a clear sky. About 10 minutes after she'd met him, and for no earthly reason except that she wanted him to have the money.
Susan, will you tell me all that again?
Weren't you listening? Or don't you believe it? It's true. Bud swears it is.
Jack told him that he went out of town and met a woman who offered him $1,000 a few minutes after she met him.
That's the story. She'd never seen him before, and he'd never seen her before. Bud says that Jack only told him because he probably thought that otherwise Bud would think he'd come by all that money dishonestly.
When did this happen? Just a few days ago?
Oh, no, weeks ago. I just found out about it the other day.
Susan, I think I know. I think I know who gave Jack that money.
You do? Why, how in the world would you know?
Because, well, Susan, I don't want to talk about it, but it's just, well, just someone Jack talked about. Someone I know.
Well, there you are. Now you can verify it for yourself if you want to.
Oh, but Susan, it isn't what you think. It's not someone, not, well, someone Jack is interested in. It's, well, if it's the woman I think, it's much worse than that.
Why don't you tell me about it? I'll feel guilty if I just come down here and stir up a lot of trouble for you. I only thought that maybe this would wake you up, make you realize what a hopeless...
Oh, I'm glad you told me, Susan. It would have been much worse if I hadn't known. And now, let's not talk about it anymore. Maybe someday I'll tell you the whole story.
All right, Marilyn, the subject's closed. Darling, I'll have Mother invite you down to Florida for a few weeks. And we'll dangle some handsome, eligible, irresistible bachelors in front of your eyes.
Oh, Susan, still the romantic.
And if you don't like any of our Florida flesh, when we get back to Chicago for the holidays, I'll show you a stag line tour. Oh, heavens, that's not Carlton coming back for lunch. Here we are talking with no cooking done.
Well, that can't be Carlton yet.
Kitty? Could it be Kitty? I'm dying to see that child.
No, it's hardly time. Oh, David.
Hello, Marilyn. I'm bringing that microscope for Kitty.
Oh, come in, please. I want you to meet a very old and a very dear friend of mine.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm sorry if I'm intruding. I seem to pick just the time
when... just the perfect time. Susan says she won't stay with us very long, and I did want you to meet her. Susan, this is Mr. Hunter. David Hunter, Miss Susan Mack.
How do you do, Miss Mack?
I'm afraid to say anything. Sir, my voice will crack. Why, too well, I'm not being used to being introduced as a very old lady. I can just feel my hair turning snow white from temple to temple.
Well, silly, I didn't introduce you as a very old lady. I introduced you as a very old friend. Sit down, David, please. Kitty isn't here yet, but she will be any minute.
Oh, thanks very much, but I've got to get on home for lunch. But I got the microscope into working order this morning before classes, so I thought I'd bring it over and let Kitty have it right away.
Oh, she'll be so thrilled. I really think it's terrible to let such a young child have a microscope to play with. What if she should ruin it, David?
Oh, she won't hurt it. It's an old model anyway, not a very good one, I'm sorry to say, but I think it's just about the right thing for Kitty to get started on. I suppose, Miss Mack, you know that Mrs. Owen's little girl is quite a scientist. At least for a girl of 10.
Well, is that the latest wrinkle? She's always got some project or other she's working on. Science is a new field, I believe. At least I don't remember.
Inspired by Mr. Hunter, of course. You see, Mr. Hunter teaches science at the high school.
Oh?
And he's been good enough to show Kitty some of the things they have up there in their science and zoology lab. So she started a lab of her own upstairs.
Well, I don't blame her. Science is a fascinating subject, so I'm told.
I've always found that it was, Miss Mack. And now I think I'll be on my way. If there's anything Kitty doesn't understand about this outfit, I'll be glad to help her with it.
Well, look, David. Susan, you're going to stay here for dinner, of course, and you're staying overnight?
Oh, indeed I am, unless I'm not invited.
Oh.
And even then, I doubt if I'll leave before tomorrow.
That's wonderful. David, wouldn't you come over to dinner tonight? I think it'd be a lot of fun, and of course, Kitty would be thrilled.
Well, thank you. I'd certainly like that very much, if you're sure I'm
You'll
not...
be breaking three or four hearts if you don't.
Oh, please come, David. We'd love to have you.
And I'd love to come. Thanks very much.
We'll look for you about 6:30.
6:30 it is, then. Thanks a lot.
And look, don't you dare bring flowers again. Those you brought last week are still lovely.
See you this evening. Goodbye, Miss Bank.
Goodbye, Mr.
Goodbye,
Hunter. Bye. Well.
What? Did you say something, Susan?
I was just going to say, on second thought, I doubt if it's so terribly smart of you to come to Florida or up to Chicago to stagger the stag line. Seems to me the grass is very green right here.
Susan, now what on earth are you talking about?
He's so handsome. Such a sweet smile. And how he looks at you. Marilyn, I see handwriting already on that nice new blackboard.
Whether or not the lively Miss Susan is correct in sensing that there's romance in the air, she herself apparently has no doubts on the subject. This chance encounter is to have far-reaching results, as we'll learn by listening in on the line.
Hello, Agatha?
Oh, speaking of the line.
Agatha!
Yes, dear, my goodness, what is it?
It's an emergency. I'm down at the machine shop conferring with Curly.
That's no emergency, that's a habit.
If you please, woman. Curly got some indelible ink on his shirt sleeve, and he's scared to tell Sarah about it. How do you take the gull-darn stuff out?
Clem, for goodness sakes. Indelible ink stains, page 20 in the handy book.
For emergencies of all kinds, all households need the Sarah and Aggie Handy Book. For a free copy, send your name and address to Sarah and Aggie at this station. S-A-R-A, Sarah, A-G-G-I-E, Aggie. Sarah and Aggie at this radio station. And if you are not now a user of Sarah Pepsin, all you have to do is say so, and you'll get a free trial bottle along with the Handy Book. What is Sarah Pepsin? A laxative for all the family. A help that has made many people say they feel like new again. Dr. Caldwell's Sarah Pepsin is a liquid, which makes it easy to take. It's refreshing and delicious, which makes it pleasant to take. It gives such gentle, easy, effective relief that tens of thousands of people say that they have never known anything like it. Dr. Caldwell's Sarah Pepsin, it's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, Pepsin. Ask your druggist for syrup, Pepsin. Tomorrow, Susan Mack gets better acquainted with David Hunter, and she draws some definite conclusions. Tomorrow, on the party line...